Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Jesus Christ is risen. We celebrate his resurrection and we rejoice that he is with us as we gather in worship. But who is this Jesus Christ, the Messiah? How well do we really know who this Jesus is that we speak of and declare? The danger is that our familiarity with the Easter story blinds us to the reality of who Jesus is. We can miss the overwhelming importance of this person. Jesus' resurrection announces, well, the most important thing that's ever happened. It's kind of hard to do justice to that, really. And it's the most important thing that ever happened for every man, woman, and child that lives or has lived or will live on planet Earth. The danger is we're so familiar with the Easter story, we kind of miss who he really is. I'm reminded by one of the great stories that went viral after the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. There was a video of an interview, a conversation with the former Royal Protection Officer, Dick Gaffin. You might have seen it yourself on social media. It really was very funny and went around. And he tells the story of going for a walk with Her Majesty near her estate in Balmoral, Scotland. And a couple of American tourists come along, and they don't recognise the identity of the lady in the raincoat and the headscarf in his presence. They're standing. In polite conversation, they ask the lady, who they just met her, oh, where do you live? Well, she answers, I live in London, but I have a holiday home just the other side of the hill there. I've been coming here ever since I was a little girl. Ah, think the tourists, so you must have met the Queen then. She answers, well, I haven't, but Dick here meets her regularly. So quick as a flash, the American puts their arm around the Royal Protection Officer, gives his camera to the Queen and says, what do you mind doing a selfie? Of course, she didn't mind, took the photo, didn't let on, and they say thank you and walk away. They were in the presence of Her Majesty the Queen, but unaware of her true identity. And the danger is we have some sense about Jesus, but miss his real identity. And that set reading from Acts chapter 10 makes the true identity of the risen, glorified Jesus very clear to us. Because did you hear the staggering claims about Jesus as Peter speaks one of the first sermons to a non-Jewish audience? Verse 36, this Jesus who is Lord of all. Verse 42, this Jesus who is the judge of all. And at the end there, verse 43 speaks about him being savior of all, that forgiveness is available to all through believing in his name. So the risen Jesus Christ is not just about us Christians or people in church, but he is eternally significant to every man, woman, and child on the planet as the Lord of all, the true King of all, the Judge of all, and the Savior of all. Now that reading was given as a snippet of a conversation between Peter, one of the original witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus, and an officer in the Roman army occupying their country. It's one of the first times the fledgling church reveals itself as a global and universal phenomenon for everyone on the planet, not just a new sect of the Jewish faith. God directs Peter to overcome all his lifelong prejudices, prejudices of race and culture, above all religion, to go and speak to a hated non-Jew. The kind of person that, well, Peter could have thought as a dog, worthy of nothing better than God's judgment. A hated Roman oppressor of God's people. But by going to speak to him, he finds there's someone prepared by God to hear the good news of the risen Lord Jesus from his mouth. That's why verse 34 is so significant, Acts 10:34. Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism or partiality, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. There's no longer an uncrossable gulf, a chasm between God's people, the Jewish nation, and the rest. God provides the ultimate level playing field for everybody, forgiveness through Jesus. Previously in Acts, as you read it, you'll see that Luke describes this man Cornelius that Peter's speaking to as someone who feared God, gave alms generously to the poor and to the people of Israel particularly, and pray continually to God. In other words, he does what's right. And God sees this person despite their unlikely background in the Roman army, and he sees someone ready to receive the gospel message of the risen Jesus. God shows no partiality. He's not a respecter of persons. Anyone, anywhere, from any background, race, color, any social class, any situation in life, no difference to God. He's not more in favor of any race than another. No more attention whether you're a communist or a capitalist, a Democrat, a Republican, even English or French. No difference to God. He is completely impartial. Peter now understands that Gentiles like this Cornelius, this Roman, are acceptable to God. Not that they don't need the gospel, but that they're ready for the gospel, the good news, which Peter then proceeds to tell him. Because don't misunderstand what Peter says. In every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. It doesn't mean that that's all that God asks of humanity. No, no. It simply means that God recognizes in anyone and everyone, where there is an honest heart and a receptive attitude, well, Cornelius still needs the gospel. He needs Jesus Christ and God's forgiveness. But that's how it works. Cornelius is a good man in the ordinary sense of the word, but he needs redemption, he needs forgiveness, because he needs Christ, like every man, woman, and child on the planet. But he was acceptable to God because he was honest and open. And that's what God wants from anyone. Anyone in any circumstance who comes to God with an honest heart, and well, he'll find that open door to the truth about Jesus that brings forgiveness. That's the open door of the gospel. And the gospel message is, as Peter puts it, peace through Jesus Christ, the Jewish king who defeated evil through his death and resurrection. Having defeated evil, well, now peace is possible. The relationship with God and one another that is put right, very especially through different ethnicities. That's one of the key elements of the gospel. If our world, if ever needed it, is needed today. Like in Ephesians chapter 2, where it speaks about, in Christ, ones who you are far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace, who has made us both one, broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, so that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, might reconcile us to God in one body through the cross. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. Peter tells Cornelius and the people with him the story of Jesus, who is Lord of all. The Jewish king Jesus supersedes the Roman king Caesar. After all, Cornelius served in his army and would say, Caesar is Lord. But the Jewish Messiah is Lord of all. Everybody is summoned to serve him, even the Romans who are ruling over the Jews. There was a wonderful little book produced about Her Majesty the Queen and her faith. And it talked about it was the servant queen and the king she served. She knew who the real king was. Well, God anointed Jesus as king, and his reign was marked by goodness and power. He was handed over to the Romans, who put him to death, hanging him on a tree, which marked him out for the Jewish people as a cursed man. And for the Romans, as a kind of minor provincial nuisance. But God overturned the verdict of both Jews and Romans by raising Jesus from the dead. And Cornelius, well, he wanted to hear all that Peter had been commanded by the Lord. Well, Peter says, we've been commanded to preach the gospel. Includes judgment, that unpopular topic. For doesn't Cornelius, a God-fearing man who does good, want the king to render righteous judgment? That's what kings and rulers should be doing. Of course, those who give our allegiance to King Jesus, don't fear judgment, because we receive forgiveness of sins. And Peter now understands that all the prophets of Israel anticipated this day when the access to the God of Israel would be open to everyone, and that such access would now come through giving one's life, one's allegiance to Jesus, the Messiah. It goes all the way back to the promise God gave to Abraham. Back in Genesis, the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your kindred, your father's house to the land I'll show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and those who dishonor you I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." That's always been the scope of God's purposes for his people. All the families of the earth. The Jewish people were called out to demonstrate the relationship that God wants to have with all humanity. John Stott, in his book, The Spirit, the Church, the World, wrote, "The tragedy was that Israel twisted the doctrine of election into one of favoritism, became filled with racial pride and hatred, despised Gentiles, and developed traditions which kept them apart." No longer in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So today, I hope you just ponder who Jesus really is. Jesus, verse 36, who is Lord of all. He is the true King, whose rule is perfect peace and justice. Jesus, who is the judge of all, because by him will all the secrets of our hearts be judged. And Jesus, who is Savior of all, to anyone and everyone who comes to him, we find forgiveness of sin. All means all. No favoritism. An open door for everyone. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.